is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Welcome to another exciting edition of Nailed It on Guardian 96.9. My name is Leonard Sands.
And my name is Debbie Deal.
And once again, we are privileged to come into the listening ears, motorists, and persons who are in their homes. We've taken a couple of minutes out to join us on this program. Now, today, I'm going to be very honest about what I've discovered in preparation for the show. Started looking on the internet about housing standards related to the Bahamas. And I came across this guide. It's called The Guide to Housing Standards for the Bahamas, Build Back Better. Now, Build Back Better is the underlining theme.
Right.
August 2020.
Oh.
So, Building Back Better had to have been post-Dorian.
Yeah, by about 20, a day or two.
Yeah. Build it back better, which had to have been post-Dorian.
But where have they hidden it? I haven't seen it or heard of it.
Introduction. I'm going to read it for the listening audience and yourself so you can appreciate this.
Okay.
Introduction. Ministry of Disaster and Preparedness Management and Reconstruction. This Build Back Better guide for the Commonwealth of the Bahamas, proudly produced by the Ministry of Disaster Preparedness Management and Reconstruction, in conjunction with the Building Control Division of the Ministry of Public Works, this guide could not have been prepared without the assistance of the United Nations Development Program, Engineers Without Borders, Shelter Sector Bahamas, the National Emergency Management Agency, the Buildings Control Division of the Ministry of Public Works, and the University of the Bahamas School of Architecture. Impressive.
Mm-hmm.
Impressive. Now, I want to jump straight to the second paragraph. It begins, the impact of Hurricane Dorian on the housing stock of the second and third most populated islands of the Commonwealth of Bahamas, namely Grand Bahama and Abaco, resulted in damages to residences that is estimated to exceed $100 million. I think that's a low estimate, actually.
Yeah, I thought they said it was like $2 billion or something.
The Disaster Reconstruction Authority, through its home repairs program, has registered over 4,000 residents for home repairs on the islands of Abaco and Grand Bahama. As of July 1st, 2020, the Grand Bahama Port Authority estimated that within the 200-square-mile district of Port Authority, approximately 4,637 homes were impacted to varying degrees by the storm. The work of the compiling housing repair statistics is ongoing as part of the mandate of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. Rapid assessments were conducted in the aftermath of Hurricane Dorian by teams of local professionals, architects, engineers, building contractors, and the Ministry of Public Works. Technical officers. The site inspectors revealed that, as expected, There were extensive damage due to flooding from sea surge. However, for damage not related to sea surge, flooding was largely due to level of non-compliance mm-hmm. with the prescriptive structural requirements of the current Bahamas Building Code. Mm-hmm. And that's where I want to stick a pin. Mm-hmm. Again, I want to read it again. However, for damage not related to the sea surge, flooding was largely due to the level of non-compliance with the prescriptive structural requirements of the current Bahamas Building Code.
And I saw that firsthand. I went to Abaco right after the storm, and Ken Hutton drove me around, and I took photographs of... took about 280 photographs, and most of it was things like the nails that would go in, let's say, to hold in your gable, and the gable was right over there on the side, but the nail was only sticking out like a quarter of an inch. That the nails were too short. The bolts were in, but there was no nuts and washers on the bolts to hold the wooden structure
on the slab. Just dopey stuff.
It was kind of like, yeah. I could just see the guys, it's Friday afternoon, they want to get paid, so they finish it even though they don't have the right nails. That's, in my brain, that's what I saw.
Yeah. And before we dive into this, I want to just mention the acknowledgement. I thought this is important for the public to understand who was involved in preparing this. The contributions of the following are hereby acknowledged. Gratitude, Cora Bain Colebrook, Permanent Secretary of the Ministry of Public Works at the mm-hmm. time. Yeah. Contributing authors, Craig G. Delancey, mm-hmm. who is the Deputy Director, Ministry of Public Works. Mm-hmm. Edwin Yuklo, Senior Structural Engineer, Ministry mm-hmm. of Public Works. Peer contributors, Melanie T. Roach, Director of Public Works, Ministry of Public Works. John Michael Clark, Chairman, Disaster Reconstruction Authority. Valeria Pintard Flax, Assistant Professor, School of Architecture, University of Bahamas, one of my good friends. David D'Angelo, Shelter Sector Bahamas Coordinator. Brent C. Ferguson, Acting Building Control Officer, Ministry mm-hmm. of Public Works. Mm-hmm. Students of the School of Architecture, University of Bahamas. Sheena Adley, Helson Ambrose, another one of my friends, Andronika Clark, Renee Grant, Donovan Knowles, Ernell McKenzie, Derek Wong, Scott Sawyer, Area Engineer for the Ministry of Public Works, Gerard Turner, Building Inspector, Ministry of Public Works, and Etole Pinder, UNDP. Etwal Pinder, UNDP Bahamas. This mm-hmm. was an august body mm-hmm. of professionals and non-professionals who took their time, researched, audited, studied, went, assessed, and prepared a 52-page guide based on what they saw.
Right.
Guide to housing standards for the Bahamas. Build back better. And I encourage everyone who's listening, Google it, download it, because mm-hmm. it is absolutely wonderful. Just Google Guide to Housing Standards for the Bahamas. It's going to pop up. Click on the link. I downloaded it. It took less than a minute. Okay? So what this guide does, and like it said in the opening, it really takes the building code, which is this exhaustive document, mm-hmm. and condenses it down into 52 pages. Because you don't need to know all the compliance standards and all the architectural code and all the stuff that comes along with it. Right. It just tells you for residential, because this is for residential housing, just tells you what you need to know if you're going to build a house and the house is going to be sound. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this is because, and you could flip through this, I drove around going towards my mother's house on Monday. Mm-hmm. And again, I'm seeing contractors using a hybrid system, which I'm going to say they don't understand the system properly that they are trying to utilize.
Is this a hybrid wooden system that you're talking about?
No, masonry. I saw again.
Oh, the one without belt, corset,
columns? Belts and columns, yes. I saw again.
I hate that.
Houses. No, but I could let me explain it. Mm-hmm. I see houses under construction without intermediate columns, without corner columns, without a bell course. Mm-hmm. And here's the kicker. Without continuous steel reinforcement from the footing, mm-hmm. straight through the final course, mm-hmm. if you're going to not use any columns. The point I want to make is you cannot use that system without continuous reinforcement from the footing, straight through the block cells, to, if you don't even put a bond beam, let's say you somehow create a bond beam within the blocks, and then you grout fill the entire structure. You can't shortcut it by using that system without the continuous reinforcements around everything, and then pouring the entire cavity of all the blocks up to the back. You cannot.
And that system can't be cheaper. That cannot possibly be cheaper.
It may be faster. I don't know if it's cheaper because you don't have to go to forming plywood and form it up and pour the columns and then strip the columns. You avoid all of that.
But hang on. So you're going to put a belt course bolt in a block that has been poured with concrete.
If all the blocks are poured with concrete continuous and anchored down with rebar, it could still possibly still work. It's not going to separate. But in all of the, what I wanted to make notice of, in all of the illustrations that's in this guide, it still shows a belt beam. I haven't seen anywhere, and I've seen a couple of examples of persons who completed the structure without the bond beam, but I continue to see in our building code calls for a bond beam. Now, in there is a bond beam block that you can buy.
Right, and it has dents in the top so you can run your steel.
Yes.
Yes.
So if it may be...
But still, a block is not really structural.
No, but once it's filled with concrete and rebar, it does the same thing. If it's a proper bond beam block.
Okay.
So Okay, let's put it like this. Let's talk really scientific about it. If I have formwork and I put rebar and steel and I pour it and I remove the forms, that's
right.
A reinforcement.
But it's continuous all the way. When you have the blocks have ends on them.
Yes.
Right?
Not the running bond beam block. They don't have ends.
So you're only just grouting them together is what
right.
you're doing.
They're just grouting where they
meet. The ends together.
But the whole thing is continuous. If you look at it from the top,
so instead of
no
having an 8-inch belt beam, you actually have about a 6-inch belt
yes.
beam.
Yes.
So you have a smaller belt beam.
You have a smaller bend beam. But no, you have a smaller, if you want to call it a belt beam, but it's not a belt beam. Remember, the whole wall is grouted. So the entire thing is monolithic now. It's not a belt beam.
But are you, when you watch them, are you watching them actually pour the inside?
No, well, that's what I'm saying. The intent is the entire building is poured from bottom to top. So there's no separation can occur because it's no longer a beam anymore. The whole wall is it.
You know, there's two on Eastern Road, and they started out being kind of cute. They're the ugliest houses ever now. They're trying to rent them. They're right on Eastern Road. Mm-hmm. And they were done that way with no belt course and no columns. Mm-hmm. But I never once saw a pump truck or anything
like
that.
Well, this is why we're having this discussion today.
You
have to do it properly.
Can you imagine it with buckets? How long would it take?
It would take forever.
Concrete would set up before you got it all poured in.
You couldn't do it with bucket. But so
jeez Louise.
The structural intent is that I'm a concrete person, so even if you do block work and you grout everything with concrete, the whole system becomes a concrete building. The belt system on top of block work, where it has flaws, is that your belt on top of block work, where you didn't grout all the block work, means that only where a little bit of that concrete may have spilled between the caps.
That's it.
Other than that, technically, it never happened in real life, but technically, the physics could tell you that your belt course can separate from your block.
But you've got your columns on the corners, and you get your columns
which tie it down.
And
so
then, of course,
reason
you're
why
supposed
it
to put
it.
On the side of windows and doors. You're
of
supposed
course.
To have steel.
Exactly.
Supposed to have steel.
But if you look at certain Caribbean countries, for they even increased wind load resistance, they grout the entire block work, and then they put the running bond course Yeah. And then pour the whole thing. Well, so your block work is grouted the entire thing.
Yeah, I prefer a poured solid concrete instead of just the blocks that are, when you tap on them, they're hollow sounding.
Exactly.
You know, I would prefer that.
But it is costly.
Yeah, and you know, and I do understand, I think we've had this discussion before off air, where they were saying it's less labor and less expensive to build in the fashion that we're talking about, right?
Yeah, and I guess
that's
faster,
what they're...
It's not less expensive. Faster. Think about it. If you don't have to involve your carpenters and you just have your masons and you got a small house.
Yeah, you could do it 800
square foot.
You do it a lot faster. Also, then you don't have to have 1,000 inspections.
Exactly. You're just going to have one inspection.
Right.
Yeah, when you're about to pour.
Right.
And so that works.
They don't see if it's tied down into anything, though, because the blocks are there. They can't see any of that.
Well, you would have to have the engineer record make sure that he keeps
break,
the records.
You'd have to break. Yeah.
Yeah, and you could bust through the
Yeah, CD. I've had to do that.
Yeah.
Like, 40 years ago.
And looking at this guide, then, it's what I like about this, it gives you practical, you know, and this is why I think architects need to have conversations with people. It shows you illustrations of what happens if you build your house on a cliff, a slope, somewhere where winds coming up off the ocean could rush up under your house.
Oh,
it's showing you what can happen. And it's very illustrative. You see, look at this, Debbie. It's showing you wind thrust does this, and your house is on piles. Above the same, your house could topple this way. Mm-hmm. It's showing you what happens if your house is not securely fastened and is on top of something and waters could push it down into the sea. It's a very good guide. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage persons to download the document. Look at it. It gives you site development information. Not that you should be so involved in how to develop your site, but it gives you guidelines.
But some people have no idea.
Yeah, how far your house is set back from the road for your driveway.
Mm-hmm.
So I've seen some silly places where a car is parked in front of the driveway and part of the car is still sticking in the road. Your house isn't set back far enough.
With these same two little stupid houses that I'm talking about, they're so close on the road, I don't know how they got approved.
Yeah, we could speculate, but we don't do that on the show. It says, elevate the house wherever possible, at least 12 inches above the known flood plain, or 18 inches above the crown of the road.
It's supposed to be 21 inches. They changed that from 15 years ago to 21 inches from the center of the road.
Well, this report done in 2020 involving the Ministry of Public Works said that wherever possible, at least 12 inches above the known flood plain. Now, maybe at the time in the building control, Building Regulations Act, which at the time did not have data on what was the known floodplain. So they gave
Maybe
you guess an arbitrary.
Maybe
now
not.
They probably have the data. They know the floodplain is. And if you're above the floodplain by 12 inches, you should be fine.
I usually recommend people to build at least 4 feet off of the ground. 4 feet off of the,
the grid.
Yeah.
Wherever grid is.
Because that's where you... I know you have to put steel in all the block holes and that sort of stuff to do that. What would you rather have? Would you rather have your house flooded?
I know. I'm just saying you got to have the money for it.
Yes. Well, so, you know what? Guess what? How much money do you need to rebuild it? And what if you don't have insurance? Plenty of money, right?
You better have insurance. Mm-hmm. So, and it shows examples of reinforcements coming up out of the slab into the footings.
It looks like every 3 feet.
Yeah.
And they look like number threes or...
They're number five.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, must be just the picture.
I know the project, actually.
Okay.
I'm actually shocked when I turned to be. I know the project. And this is 2020. This was in Charlottesville. I know the project.
Okay.
Interesting. So, anyhow, types of foundations. Looking at this, main types of foundations, slab and raft, pile foundation, strip foundation, step foundation, pad foundation. I mean, it's
those are good
very
to know
good,
because sometimes if a person is a new builder and they have one drawing that they're using, right?
Mm-hmm.
They may not even know that there's alternative things to do, right?
So I mean, I totally agree.
An issue.
What I think I'm most impressed about what happens is that we do the work, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're terrible with sharing information.
Terrible.
This is a guide that I downloaded in less than a minute that could help almost anybody.
It's like
how many people know that this?
I didn't even know it was here. The national development plan as well. That's just sitting on a shelf somewhere. That was I worked on that, and
me too.
There's a lot of information in that everybody
great
could
information.
Use. Yes.
Right. So we have, I think sometimes we are very hard on us, mm-hmm. and reasonably so. But there is content that we could access. But the challenge is, how do we know? How do we know that there's something that may could help us? Like I stumbled upon this.
Well, we could now, because we have a website, because we have
you absolutely know we got to put this up on the website.
Yeah, it's got to be on the website for sure. But also, you know, when you send it, we can send a mass email
to everybody as well. Yeah, send it to our membership and our email contacts. Mm-hmm.
We've got Instagram.
Yeah.
We've got Facebook.
But you would think that, and they're not casting aspersions on, you know, the persons at Disaster.
Oh, no, they did a great job of this.
But I think that this would have been good enough to have a public forum to share this information. Mm-hmm. I'd had several town hall meetings on this. I'd talk about this so that it may help, and this is how we have to think about it, it may help a contractor with his client who may not know he's doing something that he just by ignorance don't know.
Right.
It's helping.
And the client may not know, because you seldom do you, as a builder, build for a builder, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, it's all sharing information. Mm-hmm. You can't have too much of it.
No.
And so it goes down, it goes on and shows you what the reinforcement should look like, steel, typical details, which is standard details from Ministry of Public Works. And it's really, really great. And it shows photos, which helps people who are not so good at understanding the architectural drawing. It's showing you stuff.
What it looks like.
And again, using our typical way of building, you know, block work, mm-hmm. intermediate columns, corner columns, bell course. It's our typical stuff. But it's just interesting for persons who may be totally novice out there. You pick up this guide, and in 52 pages, you will have a good understanding how to build a structure.
You will have a great idea, yes.
You will have. Mm-hmm. And with that, I think the goal was, because you saw the stuff. When I went to Abaco, several months after it. And I saw the dopey stuff too. And I'm like, Jesus, come on. I mean, come on. Just stuff that we like, really, the kind of really stuff like, really?
Hurricane place and you're building a house with plywood and felt.
Like, did you really didn't think some of the stuff was going to happen? Now, you have to consider where you're building. Now, again, I'm a timber guy. I like wood. Mm-hmm. But you got to make sure your home is engineered to withstand the elements if you're going to go with wood.
Right. And people will say, well, you know, there's still buildings in Hopetown and Harbor Island.
There were buildings in the 1700s.
But they were built by boat builders who knew how wood had to actually move, right? Because wood expands and contracts just like everything else does. And if you don't do it correctly,
it's not gonna
last. It'll huff and puff and blow your house down.
Yeah. It talks about share walls. It talks about how you want to make sure you don't have too much wind load against a certain partition. You have some windows. It just really is a good guide. And I'm really, really happy with this document. I looked through it and I was, wow, this is a really good document. And I'm really hoping that, I think something like this, the Contractors Association, I'm going to print it out for our membership, share it to everybody, and we're going to have talks on it. Because part of our assumption is we assume every contractor knows what we know. Yeah. We make that as a gross assumption. Mm-hmm. How do we know that contractor A knows the typical reinforcement? Yeah, we assume, but you have to realize something. Someone getting a business license for construction is no guarantee that they know how to build anything.
No, and or they can read a plan.
They understand the risk they may be putting you in. So there are some givens that you have to appreciate, and we know it intimately because we've seen examples of where persons didn't know. They quote unquote contracted.
Yeah, because you and I have probably been called to many different jobs. Could you fix my house? Somebody did a lousy job, and I look and think, oh God, no. Yeah. Sometimes
they just didn't know. Didn't know.
But
I think
it's
a great career move. You can make some money.
But at the end of the day, if you try to fix it for somebody and they're still not happy, then well, you know, the proverbial anyway, when everything rolls downhill, it rolls downhill onto the contractor.
Yep.
So there's a lot, that's what I said. I'm very choosy in what jobs I take and what jobs I don't take.
And you have to, because it's your company, it's your reputation.
No, No, it's my reputation. Because they never say Sandbank Construction.
No,
they go Leonard.
Oh, they can call it.
They go Debbie.
Oh, yeah.
That's who it is. So it's different than when you have a store like I'm going to use CBS Bahamas mm-hmm. because that's one of our sponsors and one of our directors as mm-hmm. well. Board members, I should say. I lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah. But that's a company,
yeah.
right? So that's
you're going to say CBS. You're never going to call individuals' names.
Right.
You're never going to call individuals' names.
It wouldn't. But with a company, when mm-hmm. the persons are all, everybody's working with you, mm-hmm. whether it's the architect, the engineer, the electrician, the plumber, they're mm-hmm. all working with you. It's your name.
They can call your name.
Yeah.
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 And so, you know, this guy, I like it. It's so nice. Shows lintels over the windows and doors and all kind of cool stuff. It talks about everything inside there, how the later blocks, the joint thickness, and it's really good.
It also shows nice, clean job sites.
Oh, yeah, it's just really nice, clean job sites. Yeah.
I love that.
Really, really nice. So mm-hmm. I'm going to encourage everyone to go on Google. Go to your friend Google. Like Debbie, say her best friend. Go to your friend Google. Put in Guide to Housing Standards for the Bahamas. This document's going to come up.
Download it on your computer.
Download it on computer, save it.
Print it
if
you can.
And use it as a reference.
Send it to Copycats. It'll probably only cost you a couple dollars.
Yeah, it's only 52 pages. If you do back and front, you're down 20-something pages.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget the gentleman's name who's the author, and I saved it on his name on the computer, but when I printed it out, I don't have it, so let me look.
Well, you better remember that, because if you saved it under his name and you can't remember.
But it's in the folder. Right? I know the folder I have it saved.
Oh, there you go.
And I do not see it here, but on the next show I'll be able to mention it. But it's a great resource.
Yeah, and these are the kind of things that we really need to, like once you find things like this, we really need to share them with our members because, you know, we just finished our contractors construction course and I think on the 25th or something
when
Minister Keith Bell will be our guest speaker and the persons that did the course will be able to get their
certificates, so it's
everything we can possibly do to actually make the industry better. That's what the BCA does. May not be in a specific order,
mm-hmm.
but it's whenever we find something new that we can actually share that's easy for everybody to comprehend, because mm-hmm. that's important to have something that's easy for everybody
comprehend.
Yes,
yeah.
understand.
This is a great guy. So part of what we want to encourage with resources like this, like Debbie said, we find it, we share it. But more importantly, we want there to be more understanding for contractors. Part of the learning that the Bahamian Contractors Association try to share is that a good contractor is good for the client and good for the construction community. A bad contractor is bad for the client and also bad for the construction community.
It is.
In our construction community, we don't individualize bad contractors. We just say bad contractors. Everyone gets painted with the brush. So we don't mistake the fact that we don't like to hear about the stories of persons having bad construction work or like another concern I had this week where this lady is didn't get anything for her $20,000. Someone just pretty much defrauded her. Yeah, that's scary.
So she just gave them $20,000 to start a project?
And hasn't heard from them in 6 months.
Isn't that illegal?
It is.
She can't get in touch with him. She doesn't know where he lives.
Stop answering phone call, block call, all that stuff. That's crazy. So this, and it's things like this what I have to say on air.
Wow.
So persons could understand how wild the construction community is right now. And until the public appreciates why we're agitating so much for licensing of construction contractors.
Mm-hmm.
Because you, the public, will stand to lose. We lose too. But I'm telling you, That lady, $20,000, gone.
And
not cool, like for real.
And if the board had been chosen and people were registered and licensed.
You could find them.
You could find them.
Because all she has to do, he was license number 521 with the contractor who took my money.
Right.
The police would be at the door.
Right.
You understand me?
And that's how that's why we want to push this so much, so that we can actually protect them,
people,
and then protect the industry.
Yeah. Against rogue individuals, and
I can't believe.
And so
we're
continuing our call. We're reminding the Prime Minister that you committed to us, made a promise to have the board appointed by the end of August. Now, a couple of weeks into September, and the community out here is waiting and anxiously waiting for that board to be appointed, so that we could get about the work of managing and regulating the construction.
Well, maybe if you send a follow-up letter, you could also mention a surveyor that could also be part of the board.
It's concluded already.
Oh, it is? I wasn't sure if you did one of those.
So we did all that stuff. We just kind of wait for the board appointment. Okay. But we got a break coming up so we could plug in our sponsors. We'll be back right after these messages.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines, maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about Machinery and Energy Limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
Nothing beats a Chicchani challenge. On September 27th, we're bringing the action, a 5K course packed with 20 thrilling obstacles. Start and finish at Fusion Superplex with energy, fun, and excitement all around. First time? No problem. Try the Chicchani Light version, built just for beginners. Got kids? Ages 3 to 7 can take on their very own Chicchani Kids Challenge. And this year, we're turning 10. So grab your team, mark your calendar, and come celebrate with us. Visit ChicchaniChallenge.com to sign up today. Thanks to our sponsors Fusion Superplex, Guardian Radio 96.9, Kalina, RBC, Advantage Insurance, Party Pilots Rentals and Events, Fincastle Media Group, Powerade, Calic, and Art of Graphics.
Since independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has been mandated to expand our nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama to Inagua. Our clients come from all sectors of local industry, from manufacturing to agriculture to the creative industries to the mailboat that brings it all to you. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website today to apply.
When your building renovation projects are go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
When we started StormFrame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Out Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Welcome back to our second half of Nailed It. What I'm going to do now is just talk about our sponsors. You know, again, like I say, we're a nonprofit. If it weren't for sponsors, we wouldn't be here at all. And we are so grateful for the ones that we have. And we've had, you know what, I want to do a list of all the sponsors that we've had from the very beginning since we started this. This would be great. But we have ART. We have Bahamas Safety Solutions. We have Family Guardian. Actually, they will be on the 25th on this show. We have Bahamas Development Bank. We need to get them on the show as well because they do some amazing green projects.
And we'll contact with BDB.
Yeah. And then we have CB Bahamas. So thank you so much for making this a reality for us and for the listening audience.
And numbers for you to call to join in and be a part of this conversation are 323-6 232-325-4316, 325-4259. And from the family of islands, you have 242-300-5720. And text line powered by BTC is 422-4796. So continuing our conversation about guide to housing standards, contractors providing good quality and expertise and knowledge, the presumption that you have someone who is qualified to undertake your project is the biggest gap where we in the BCA sought to try to bridge.
Right.
Because if I walk into a doctor's office, there is an automatic presumption that they can treat my illness. They're a doctor. If I engage you, Debbie, or XYZ contractor, I walk into that with the same presumption. The only difference is,
there's nothing to back it up.
You could be absolutely wrong.
Other than
you could be absolutely wrong.
Yeah, other than my integrity.
And to be fair, you know, this is where I'm so somber about it. As we have come across the men and women who participate in this construction industry in this country, they're all good people. And from every space, every sector, with differing levels of education and knowledge and what's not. And I say it depends on who you meet on a given day.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the person you engage. And that's where the real risk is, because that individual may even believe they can.
Mm-hmm.
And again, if this is honest, they may believe they can.
Mm-hmm.
But they may not be able to. And that's where the BCA has been trying to educate and train and get the skill set of contractors higher. Because we want the answer to be, I can, for those who may not be able to answer that in the affirmative. So that's our goal. And guess what? We're going to get there. But it takes contractors to come into our training, come and learn more about what you think you thought you knew. And even the guys who've been participating in it, when they went through the training course we had, they're like, wow, there's stuff I didn't even know I didn't know.
Well, now you brought that up. We have to talk about the fact that our next training course is in Eleuthera. It is the 29, 28, 27, I had to go backwards, of October. And it's going to be in Rock Sound at the... One Eleuthera is working with us on this, as well as Veritas. Mm-hmm. Of course, we had our meeting yesterday with them. And we're going to do other locations as well that would be, it would be virtual in a sense.
Virtual for them, yeah,
right?
Virtual for them.
Virtual for them, but we would have our own BCA members that are board members there to guide persons through to make sure that they're understanding what is being said. But the location where we are going to have the Veritas will hold anywhere from 80 to 100 persons.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yes, so we're very excited about that because we've talked about going to the family islands for ages, and we've never done it. And
no.
I sometimes I hate talking about something if we're not able to produce it, because then I feel like we're a fraud. And we're not a fraud.
No.
It's just taken us this long for the persons that we needed to actually come into our circle for this to actually happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm so excited about that.
Oh, we got a caller calling. Let's take this call. Caller, you're live. Go ahead.
Yes. Good night. How you doing?
Doing well.
Okay. Look here. I hear y'all guys and I hear what y'all saying. But I am someone, a self-contractor. I built my house myself.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost $1 million house.
Mm-hmm.
But all I did was basically hire the best individuals in the profession they were in, and to get, you know, the results I wanted.
Of course.
But so, you were lucky to get the best.
Yeah? How did you know you were getting the best? It had to have been from previous persons telling you or experience.
Word of mouth recommendations, and, you know, that sorts of things, right?
So you're fortunate, but so let me ask you a question, Carl, if I may. How do you think people end up with people who are not the best? Give me your thoughts on that.
Well, I think they go for the lowest price. And you know, that some people sell them a pie in the sky. You know what I mean?
True.
And that's what happened a lot.
It does.
That's what they get. They get what they pay for.
So you're saying that there is a direct correlation between the quality of work from an individual in certain cases that's related to the price in which you want to pay for the product.
Yes, it is.
I agree.
It is.
Yeah.
Like you say, you guys, y'all in the field, so y'all would have a better understanding of knowing who to go with, who is the best at this, and blah, 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 who's the best at that, and stuff like that. So, I mean, I probably is one of the lucky ones.
You got lucky because that you got lucky, but you probably had good information and they gave you persons who are very good at what they did and they were available. I think sometimes, though, caller, if you know a guy's good, and what if he's not available, then what do you do?
That's true.
What do you do?
I
think it's best to go with a contractor. But like I said, that route I did, I lucked up.
I bet, and you probably saved a bit of money too. But I would say though, you probably had a bit of the acumen yourself to at least appreciate what was good and what wasn't good, and who was trustworthy and who wasn't trustworthy. I have to put some of that on you, having more than the normal ability in managing your own project.
Right, and a red flag is generally when somebody. Let's say a carpenter gave you a price of $40,000 to do the roof, and then the next carpenter comes and says he could do it for you for $20,000. That's a red flag. You know, there's no way there could be a differential like that.
Yeah.
Right? No way. And that's where people get burned because they go, wow, I could save
$20,000.
Man, I could buy the windows I want now. And they're not thinking clearly at that point. All they're thinking about is, oh gosh, I can actually do this instead.
Yeah.
I think that's a red flag we should all listen to.
Yeah, they think they're saving, but sometimes they do it.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. Absolutely correct.
Yeah.
Caller, well, thank you very much for your call and really appreciate it.
And glad you had a good experience.
No problem.
Thank you. And we thank the caller for that bit of insight, you know. Mm-hmm. There are persons who in the community, like I say, have enough ability and time to could source the professionals they need and self-build. It's not recommended because you also have to then take responsibility. If you come across an individual that you want to do your roof and he's absolutely terrible at it, now you hired him. You can't blame anyone other than you. Debbie gone out and find a guy who can nail two wood together, and he put the roof on. Terrible. And it's leaking, and it's the first wind blows. It's shaking. Debbie gonna be, oh my gosh, I can't believe I found this guy. And that's what some of these people end up with. They're like, how did I run across this individual who can't figure out how to square a room or install tile properly or do plumbing that wouldn't leak through the walls? They go and find those individuals already. The hope is that everyone is a professional there. See, that's the hope.
Well, see, my first house, I basically did the same thing as what this gentleman is talking about. I would drive by and I would see somebody doing
good work.
And say, I would stop and say, I'm looking for a carpenter, let's say, mm-hmm. and get their name and number, mm-hmm. right? Because, of course, but in those days, you actually had to sit in your house to answer your stinking phone. But anyway, so that's basically what I did. And then when the house was being built, I just sat there on a block mm-hmm. and said, why are you doing this? Mm-hmm. Why are you doing that? Mm-hmm. What is the purpose of that? Mm-hmm. And how do you know to do that? Because I didn't really know. I mean, I'd studied, mm-hmm. but I didn't really... I'd never built one before. Mm-hmm. So that's a whole different ballgame when you're of building course. It than you know, just looking, you know, at books yeah, and books at and even, you yeah, know, YouTube, architectural things. Stuff, yeah. Well, in those days, there was no such thing as YouTube.
No, you didn't have that.
There you go.
You did really the hard way.
But yeah, well, that's pretty much, mm-hmm. I didn't know, I really didn't know what else to do. And I was very lucky.
So imagine
yeah.
an absolute novice. Mm-hmm. Imagine an absolute novice. Mm-hmm. I often say to people all the time, if someone is putting the wrong roof pitch on your house, you do not know. Someone who knows will have to tell you. See, we sometimes don't appreciate the skill that we've already learned. I mm-hmm. can look at a building, I can kind of give you the average picture or whatever. Mm-hmm. Just looking at it, that's experience, yeah. right? You're an accountant. You work as an actuary scientist. You work in the insurance industry. You can't, the guy building the roof and you're happy. Oh, yeah, it looks great. You don't know where it is right or wrong.
Like, remember the lady who called when we first yeah. started and he did like know. A 212 pitch, which yeah. is, that's like a butler building.
Yeah, very flat.
Yeah.
But so you don't know. So mm-hmm. this is where the relationship you have with the contractor, and I often talk about it, has to be very good. You have to know that contractor is capable. You mm-hmm. have to know that. You can't think that he is. You have to know that they are. And this is where the disconnect, what we talk about so much with the licensing of contractors. A license tells me something about an individual that their words are not conveying. That tells me you had to get a license. When I meet a licensed electrician, I don't ask him if he knows how to fix this. Clients call me, I send him a licensed electrician. Mm-hmm. I have this issue going on in the house. Do you know an electrician? Yep, I send him a licensed electrician. Because mm-hmm. I know for him to obtain his license, mm-hmm. he had to know the standard of electrical to get that license.
Right.
I wouldn't send a client an individual who's not licensed.
Oh, my God. That's,
I wouldn't do that.
That's one of the biggest problems with fires in this country.
Because I don't know what the guy knows.
No.
I know the licensed three-phase electrician mm-hmm. knows.
Yeah.
An enormous body of information. Had to pass a test. Mm-hmm. Had to be tested, vetted, and achieve a standard and get issued a license. That's why we talk about it so much. That's why we harp on it. Because you're going to be comfortable knowing that individual met a standard, and that's what we don't have an industry, and we harp on it. We want people to know that. That's what it means. Mm-hmm. You're guessing what that person's ability is for that company.
Right, and when you get on that plane, and you're at the airport and you get on that plane, you don't want to be guessing if that pilot has a license.
No.
You know what I mean?
No. And we take it for granted, you know, licenses, what it means.
Right.
It means professionalism.
But
that's what it means.
Yes, but everybody else seems to understand that with every other trade except for construction.
I'm in the high-rise space, and you know that, right? And I'm in 200-foot in the air on jobs. I know the concrete's not going to fall under my feet because I know the engineer's license. I know the contracting company is one of the best, if not in Bahamas, probably inside this Caribbean. I know some things about it, so I'm standing up 200 foot in the air. I'm comfortable. That's because I know that.
Right.
We got a next caller. Let's take this call. Call you live. Go ahead. Hi.
You know, said several things. You said you would sit on the block and ask them a question when they're doing the house, right?
Mm-hmm. This was my first house 43 years ago.
And ask questions.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's because when you have agreed to hire someone, you are the boss, and you have the money, and you're paying them what they ask for, and you have the right to ask any question, right?
Right, but I also want to know why. I'm one of those I will ask somebody why.
I understand anytime you ask, but like the Bible says, ask and it shall be given, right? And then sitting there, what do you say to somebody who may be visually impaired or somebody who really, like you always say, don't have the time to be on the site when they're doing the work? Because, you know, the average person has to battle with their 9 to 5 and our children and, you know, all the issues of life on a day-to-day basis and can't be there when the work is being done.
Well, visually impaired, I would think I would have to have somebody that I really, really trust be my eyes on that site. That's what I would have to do.
Yeah, I know. But the other part of it, you know, because like I said, everybody has a job. Most people have a job, but they can't find the time to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But they have to trust them anyway, even though they have all the faculties of life.
Well, then here's what I suggest. And
you know, it's like hiring an accountant or you're hiring.
You got to hire a project manager. I would hire a project manager who would act on your behalf.
Yeah, it's extra money.
But it protects you in the long run.
You would get your job done correctly.
Yeah, correctly.
And you're not going to have to worry about, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes you said something about them not knowing how to square up a building. You know, like 30 years ago, I told my girlfriend's mother at the time that her cousin, who was the contractor building the house, didn't have the house square. I just passed and checking, and she told me basically, you know, I need to start up a business. when they started to do the city going to put the covering on the floor, and this was a project that had to do with mortgaging a mortgage from the bank.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was they had latex tile.
Mm-hmm.
Put on the floor. It's a home, a 4-bedroom, 2-bathroom, garage, and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the rubber tile?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The VCT tiles,
I questioned, when I thought they didn't even put it down yet, they ordered it and it dropped off, and I happened to be there, and I said, what are they going to do with that? He told me, it may tell you spare of my business. I said, but I said, number one, I told you the house will stay square. And you know, I said, but it's going to cost you for them to put it down, and then it's going to cost you in one or two years you have it there.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to take it up. You're going to have to hire someone new. You're going to have to pay them. But if you want to tell them right now, and you even go and make arrangements and get proper tile, and let them put it down, they could use that money, take that plastic and those vinyl back to the hardware store. The money the dog will go towards your glove and your tin set and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And the contractor's duty to get your floor covered. I can tell you what happened was you could see from the front door that's directly opposite and right in front of the hallway going down the hall.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was crooked.
Well, the best thing to do if you know that your house is built not square, which you find out later, is you do your tiles on an angle. You do them on a 45 or...
I understand that, but this is what happened there.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that the average person doesn't know this.
No, they don't.
And just a tip, for even a 7th grader, 8th grader, 9th grader, and the simple mathematics that they taught in school.
Mm-hmm.
You all know the concept of 10, 6, 8, 10,
mm-hmm.
right?
Or 3, 4, 5.
3, 4, 5. Or, 3, 4, 5 is the one I do. Yeah.
Y'all can go ahead and explain that to the listening public.
All right, so.
6, 8, 10 means what I'm saying.
All right, so one...
When they're taught in the classroom...
It's basic trigonometry.
Yeah. Right, yeah, so one side you measure from the corner going in 3, and then from the other, from that same corner, you go the other way and you measure 4, and the distance between the 4 and the 3 should be 5. If it's not 5, it's not square. It's a very simple... Yeah. I mean, now, of course, we have lasers and we have all kinds of stuff, but back in the day... That was basically how you could check to make sure.
If you want to get it real fancy, A squared plus B squared equals C. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
And from the class of all it says, A squared plus B squared equals C squared. In the
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So thank you very much
for your
call.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
This was a very good call, and thank you for all your experience with that, man.
Yeah.
Appreciate that. So, you know, that's a risk you take, and I think it led us to the conversation that you could take on the work yourself,
mm-hmm.
but you are now responsible. And a lot of persons... If you don't have the time, like mm-hmm. you said, Debbie, to sit on the block and be there and do running around to get
because
materials
this was my first
stuff,
job as this was my first job as a contractor, and I wanted to make sure I knew exactly why.
Yeah.
And then what I did is I did my own painting and I did my own tiling in the first couple houses I did because
mm-hmm.
I love to paint and I love to tile.
Yeah, I paint.
Yeah.
I did too.
And then when you get too busy, you just can't do it anymore. But then you just got to pray to God that the person you're going to hire will do it the way you are.
Because
I'm so fussy.
Yeah, what the first gentleman mentioned, is that, you know, he found out who were the best and good persons mm-hmm. in doing X, Y, and Z.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so that's what you have to do.
Mm-hmm.
But if you don't know.
But that's why I would...
On the BCA.
If I would drive...
If you don't know.
Well, yeah. But if I would drive by a project being done on a regular basis and I would see that it was being done really nicely, then I would know that's where I would stop and ask the person.
Of course.
Right?
But what if
if somebody recommends...
don't see a project in your area. Let's say you live in an area where there's no project going on.
But you can drive all over Nassau to see stuff if you really want to.
Though, Debbie. You know, let's say an individual goes to work for 7:30
mm-hmm.
and then leave at 5:30. They're not going to see any projects going on.
I guess.
They may be sitting in an office. Think about it. People who work in those offices downtown,
they don't
come out for lunch.
I've never worked in an office,
they sit down, they're having lunch at the desk.
Ooh.
They literally don't have an opportunity. Then when they are available, it's a weekend. Site's not open.
Now, in those days it was.
Exactly.
You could drive anywhere.
So, it's different. So I think what we want to say is that there are challenges to wanting to do it yourself and finding out the individuals who are good and mm-hmm. all the stuff. So you have to rely on persons who have had experience and good experience with those individuals and say, hey, mm-hmm. the guy who built your house, the company that built your house, they're available. The individual that did your tiling, it looks wonderful. Who's that individual? Can you give me? Mm-hmm. Most of the people we get
mm-hmm.
are referrals from persons who had excellent work. We don't take people who we've never had an experience about. We don't do it. So I wouldn't encourage anyone to do that. Find out. If I see some, like just like you, I wonder who did this tiling. This is amazing. I'll ask somebody.
Right. But that's what I do.
Did this?
I could ask somebody to give me a reference, but if I can't see the work, it doesn't mean anything to
me. Exactly. Yeah, you want to be your own better of the quality.
My eyes have to see it.
Yeah.
Because I'm way too fussy.
Yeah. So you know, those are just some little tips.
Mm-hmm.
I on our next show, you know what I want us to talk about, though, which we don't appreciate enough about? Kitchens.
Oh, yeah.
Kitchens, cabinets, and millwork.
Yes.
That's a whole... There are... so many horror stories of people offering services in that space
mm-hmm.
on both ends. One, it could be incredibly expensive.
Yeah.
I mean, you could have a $100,000 kitchen inside a $100,000 house.
Mm-hmm.
And or persons who do not know what they're doing.
No.
Messing around
right.
with your kitchen.
Yeah.
And so it's both ends of the screen.
Yeah.
So I think a conversation about that. Let's see if we could get some persons.
Nothing worse than seeing the kitchen sink is not centered in the window. That drives me crazy.
And again, mm-hmm. I I've always approached a different view. Whatever the designer, a master designer is designing, as a contractor, I will build.
It's generally not that. It's generally the person just.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
I've seen some architects
mm-hmm.
show it that way.
Mm-hmm.
So then,
well, my kitchen sink is off to the side because the dishwasher's on the other side. So the two of them are in the double window.
I've seen where it doesn't make sense.
But
the architect put it like that.
I wouldn't do that. I would go to the architect and say, come to the site. This is not going to work, because I would not do it. And I would talk to the client. I know you don't do that.
No, not
but
at all.
I do. I have to interfere. Because otherwise I can't. I wouldn't be able to do that job.
But that's why I tell you, I stay in my contractual space. Because I'm not taking on
well,
design.
Well, I'm way too bossy to do that. We have to talk about, we have a function coming up.
Oh, yeah, before we get out
we
here.
We do. October the 3rd, we are having our second Mix and Mingle. It's at the Nassau Yacht Club. It's going to be out by the pool. It's going to be absolutely amazing.
It's going to be... three times as big as it was.
Yeah, we have so many sponsors for this show. Yeah. This is amazing, yeah. And we're gonna do all kinds of
we have prizes. We may figure out who's the best builder out there by some way, mean, shape, or form. Yeah. It depends on how the night goes. Those are the key points. All this information is, of course, available on our social media pages, on our website.
Our website is where you can buy tickets.
Online, which is www.BahamanContractors.org.
Right.
And you can find out everything you need about that event and come out and support the BCA.
And you don't have to be a contractor, but just come. Yeah. Yes.
So this has been another exciting edition of Nail It on Guardian 96.9 FM. Yes. And we'll see you next week.
Yes.
But we are always standing strong, a lifetime together. A baby, you and I, we don't regret anything. And now it's the two of us again, against the wind, against the wind. When it rains,
y'all ever the new fiber steel on the market?
Yeah.
It don't rust.
Gone are the days of cracking spoils. That is a very easy to install. Fiber steel is here to stay. No more repairing that break up wall. FIP's the new steel in town. No salty air will ever break down. Rust or corrosion, that's in the past. In the Bahamas, now we're built to last. Say goodbye to rust forever, man. Goodbye to corrosion by the ocean, man. Say goodbye to rust forever. No rust, no corrosion. Fiber steel in our future, brother, man. FIP's in our future.
For more information on FRP concrete reinforcement products, call our development today at 603-4506 or visit our Facebook and IG page at Our Development BFRP. Say goodbye to rust forever.
When we started Storm Frame Windows in 1999, we wanted to fabricate an impact-rated product to compete with the Florida market, and we've done this. There's no fabricator or vendor from Florida that can do what we can in the Bahamas. Because we fabricate locally and we're a local-based company, we have the capability to provide better customer service than our competitors. With all the worldwide supply chain issues, we at StormFrame have improved our fabrication process and have invested in stock to be able to produce our orders in 4 weeks. We also keep in stock over 400 windows and doors at standard sizes for walk-in customers to purchase. Our professional sales staff is here to assist you with the complete purchase and installation. We also service and ship to the Outer Islands.
Thank you for your support, Bahamas!
Thank you for your support, Bahamas.
when your building renovation projects are go. Go Pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store. Find unbeatable prices, unmatched service, and an expanded selection of building essentials. Drywall and plywood, tools and thinset, insulation and hardware too. It's all at CBS Pro Store. Contractors, do-it-yourselfers, and industry professionals in the know can now go pro at the all-new CBS Pro Store, 103 Robinson Road.
The years following independence, the Bahamas Development Bank has carried out our mandate of expanding and diversifying the nation's economy. We invest in Bahamian companies from Grand Bahama in the north to Inagua in the south. Our clients come from all sectors of domestic industry. We are proud to support local manufacturing, technology, agricultural projects, and creative works that draw from our native heritage. We will continue to finance inter-island transport from the mailboats of yesterday to the ships of the future. Let us power the possibilities of the new economy together. We are always looking for the next great opportunity to invest in creativity, innovation, and sustainability. Visit our website at www.bdb.gov.bs to complete your application today.
Imagine holding the keys to your first home, not someday, today. At Family Guardian, your dream is closer than you think. With competitive interest rates as little as 5% down for first-time buyers and construction loans for house and lot packages, your future begins now. Don't wait. With fast approvals and lot loans up to 15 years, your opportunity won't last forever. Call 396-4040 in Nassau or 688-1500 in Freeport. Family Guardian is where your home journey begins.
You know about the big yellow machines. You've probably heard about our big yellow engines. Maybe even seen our reliable yellow generator sets light up your world. But if that's all you know about machinery and energy limited, then you're missing out. We are yellow iron and so much more. We are multiple product lines, construction equipment, forklifts, marine engines, aerial equipment, and light towers. We are parts, service, equipment sales, and rentals. Visit one of our branches in Nassau, Freeport, or Abaco for your construction and power generation needs, because we're built for it.